We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, a fun Thursday. Feels like a Wednesday, but I forgot we have Monday off. But it, nevertheless, a great day in the Bay Area. Looks beautiful out there. Hopefully, everybody's driving safe, getting off their graveyard shift. If you're getting ready for work or you're at work, what is happening? Be safe in traffic. Good morning to everybody out there, students. Everybody finishing up their finals. I know a lot of baseball leagues are ending now. League's ending. Shout out to Huddy, who had a great year. Matt Nahegan's son, our program director.
Did they lose last night?
They lost last night, unfortunately. But Huddy had a great year dealing. The guy has stuff. Natural stuff as a pitcher. So I'm excited to see where he goes with this game.
I invited him out to our practices. I'm hoping that he can come show up. I think it would be good for everybody. It'd be fun.
Yeah, it would be
fun. Get a little taste of the Marin County in San Francisco.
No doubt about that. So good morning to everybody out there. Comcast Business Text Line, YouTube, 831, Comcast Business Text Line. Also, football talk. Can't believe how much I miss you guys talking football. Listen, we miss talking football. We're starting to fade away for the Warriors now. We'll be back on the Warriors. We'll talk a lot of Warriors in the 9 o'clock hour because there are some thoughts. Listening back to the Bob Myers and Joe Lacob conversation. Joe Lacob, man, hey, we didn't get into that as much as I thought we would the other yesterday. There's a lot of interesting things that he said yesterday or 2 days ago at that presser with Bob Myers. How do they replace him? And how does the Monty Williams contract affect Steve Kerr? That's huge. Monty Williams signed with the Detroit Pistons, 6 years, $78.5 million. Steve Kerr has one more year left on this deal. Now, if money was an issue, and Bob Myers said money wasn't an issue, but obviously the initial offers weren't enough for Bob Myers, I think there was an issue with money at some point. At the end of the day, I don't think money was an end-all be-all. I think Bob Myers did want to step away, but I think initially money was an issue. If I'm reading between the lines, what is Steve Kerr going to demand? What is his agent thinking? $15 million a year, and would Joe Lacob want to pay that? Would fans be happy? What does the Steve Kerr contract extension look like? And we'll play some sound from him a few weeks ago with Mark Willard and company, Mark Willard and Dan Dibley, of course, about him wanting to coach for a long time. So we'll do that in 9 o'clock hour. Dalton Johnson, 9:20, to get his perspective on the Bob Myers / Joe Lacob press conference the other day where Bob Myers stepped down. But we're talking some football here because David Lombardi will join us at 8:30. And I just want to know, what weaknesses does Brock Purdy have? Like, are we sold that he's the guy? We could talk about Trey Lance and riding with Trey Lance. And I can't put Sam Darnold above Trey Lance. Like, that would be a worst-case scenario for the 49ers. And if everybody's saying, hey, just trade Trey Lance, then what the hell are you going to get for him? If Trey Lance can't beat out Sam Darnold, what type of compensation do you think you're going to get for Trey Lance?
How many trades are, we always say this every year, we do this with Jimmy Garoppolo, if someone gets hurt in training camp, how many actual training camp trades are there?
I don't think there's a lot. I think guys just get cut.
that's what I totally agree with you. Like, to me, that's such a media-based narrative. Yeah, trade that guy. Right, trade that guy.
I don't buy it.
Yeah, I don't either. Like we're just praying for injuries, and then teams get super desperate. Like, even then, like, they don't want to get rid of valuable draft capital down the line. Like, if your quarterback does go down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, hypothetically, you're the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
You're giving up a first-round pick or a second-round pick for quarterback X, who's the second or third stringer on another team? No. You're not. You're just not. So I find that to be funny. I find that to be a laughable concept. What are the Brock Purdy, you know?
Well, let me read a couple from the text line. Let's get them involved.
Because I got specific ones. Right. It's going to sound like I'm super nerdy, and I don't mean to be.
All right. So 925, Comcast Business Text Line. Brock Purdy makes too many prayer throws. Like in the Bucs game, they resulted in touchdowns, but also could result in underthrown picks. Prayer throws. Now, we always... highlight the interceptions or the mistakes of Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo. We've both been guilty of that. Brock Purdy got away with an interception in that Tampa Bay game on a very questionable call that could have flipped that football game. Reverse the call. Niners go down to score. I believe they go up 21-0 at the time. Could be wrong. Could have been 28-0. He got away with it. He got away with some throws in the Dallas Cowboys game over the middle of the field.
So you're kind of going to my number one. I think the number one right now for me in terms of number one thing is I thought as the final three games approached the season, I noticed him being a little predictable and not noticing. And Jimmy did the same thing in the 2019 playoffs as we got toward the end of the year. Defenses were a little more sophisticated, a little more disciplined, and he didn't see that underneath linebacker sitting in zone coverage waiting on the slant where they like to really attack the field.
Seattle dropped the pick.
Dallas Cowboys, multiple.
Right in the middle of the field, right in that area field you're talking about.
Right.
They got away with a couple things.
And to me...
Hell, they got away with something in Thursday Night Football against Seattle where Quandre Diggs dropped an interception. Could have flipped that game with the Seahawks down 7-3.
When you're very predictable, whether it's the eyes locking in or you keep throwing to the same targets on the field, teams start to adjust to that. And I thought that as the book went out more on Jimmy Garoppolo, it became very evident that he was going to attack certain spots on the field. And if you were just in that area every once in a while, ball was going to be coming right towards you as a linebacker waiting on it.
Yep.
Now, I think he can clean that up. We're acting like Joe Montana didn't throw picks. Of course he did. Joe Montana actually had three turnovers in the NFC Championship game of the catch, right? No one remembers that. Joe Montana threw one right into a Bengals defender in the second quarter of the famous comeback, with two-minute drive game.
Super Bowl 23.
He did that in the third quarter. Just dropped it in the end zone, but he didn't catch it. So, you know, his interceptionless right. Super Bowl record stands. The other area, and I don't know how important this is because I don't know how often you need to attack this in a Shanahan offense. Same thing as Jimmy, attacking beyond the numbers, down the field, 10 to 25 yards. The deep outs, the flags, some of those types of throws. You saw a little bit of it.
So he threw a dime to McCaffrey, that type of Tampa Bay game.
Absolutely.
Down that sideline.
Absolutely. But I don't know how often you can go to that well. Now, I don't even know how much Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen are throwing that pass. But to me, though, like in terms of like strengths and weaknesses, I don't think it's a strength.
No.
But that might be one of his weaknesses. And then the last one, and this is kind of more nuanced, when he's rolling out and he senses pressure, he got real predictable in the Dallas game, and the spin out left, rolling to his left, I worry that he thinks he's a little more athletic than he is, and I worry that he's going to get chased down and they're going to send some blitzes on that left side and he's going to run into some predictably. I'd like to see some adjustment from him on that. I mean, these are tiny, tiny little minor things that I believe he can work out. I mean, I feel like a hater even bringing these up.
No, it's just assessing the situation. 925, loving the football talk as far as just... Of course, this is a Comcast Business X line. As far as the quarterback situation, I feel a whole lot better about Brock if he had a full training camp as a number one quarterback.
Agreed.
That is something that's interesting.
A full offseason.
Full offseason, because think about Jimmy Garoppolo not having a training camp and how long it took him to get up to speed. You know, when you don't have these training camps and you're hurt, and you're in and out of the lineup, that messes up the rhythm. George Kittle didn't partake in training camp. Messed up the rhythm of the team the first few weeks of the season with Trey Lance. That was just last year. Mm-hmm. Deebo Samuel a couple years ago. Foot injury, not partaking in practice. He's out of shape. He gets hurt that year. He needs a camp. I would like to see him in a camp against the number one defense to get up to speed, Brock Purdy. But I also don't want to see him rushed. And if Trey Lance is the guy that you thought he was at number three, you can't get past a couple teams in September. You can't get past the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, the funniest
you can't get past the Rams or the New York Giants with Trey Lance in the first month of the season. Is he that bad?
Well, no. My favorite is like, you can't get off to a bad start. Yet they did twice. And still wants the NFC Championship game. And people say, Joe, but they were on the road.
Yep.
All right. Getting the number one seed in the modern NFL, really difficult.
Very difficult.
Like right now, even if Brock was healthy and QB1, to get the number one seed, we would all agree, a lot has to go right.
Well, one, you have to win your division. That starts first.
Yes.
Two, you have to go at least 3-1 against the AFC North. That's Cincinnati, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland. I think that division is going to be stacked and tough. this year. Really, Deshaun Watson, I think he's going to remind people of how good of a quarterback he is. I'm not going to talk about the person of Deshaun Watson because, you know, we know things happen with him. But as a quarterback, I expect him to be a lot better this year with the Cleveland Browns. That's number two. And then Philadelphia is on the schedule. Dallas is on the schedule. Some tough teams. Some big boy teams. Philadelphia is the odds-on favorite to get home field advantage in the NFC. But we keep talking about their defense, the 49ers, that is. Their great defense, their great running game, and it travels. They can win road playoff games. I prefer to have an NFC championship game at Levi's Stadium because we've seen what's happened the last 2 years. But they can win road playoff games. It is possible.
I agree with that. Can we also agree, if you're going to get the number one seed in the NFL, you're going to have to win a minimum of 13 games.
Yeah.
13-4 feels like, if we're just saying, now things can happen and it can be, a you know, 12-5 and you win some tiebreakers, minimum 13 games. Bonte, they won 13 games in 2022, which was last year, and they rattled off, what, 10 or 11 to end the year, I believe. And they did it in 2011. Those are the only times since Joe Montana and Steve Young that they've done it. They've done it twice.
Right.
So to say that, oh, you got to win every single game at the beginning of the year. To win 13 or 14 games is just really difficult. A 12-5 season, given the 17-game schedule, even if Brock was playing week one, that'd be a great year.
Yep.
That'd be a great year. So everybody, like, losing their minds about week one and week two, and I'm guilty of this every single year. We lose our minds, and I do it at every single turn because every game means everything. But, like, dude, they've been 3-5, I believe, in 2021.
Yeah, but I'm tired of seeing that.
They were 1-3 last year.
I don't think you can fall behind the eight ball with this team and you look at the schedule.
But to say that they're going to go undefeated the first month of the season isn't. That's
but
not
all I'm saying is you can't go 3-1. You can't go 4-1 this year when you look at the Niners schedule.
Would you say that if, let's say, Brock misses a couple games?
Say if Trey Lance starts.
Okay. Or Darnold.
Or Darnold. I guess you got to
I'm just throwing it out there.
First four games at Pittsburgh. Against the Rams in L.A., which will be a 49er home game. Thursday night football against the New York Giants. And then week four at Arizona.
You should be at home against
Arizona.
I would say minimum of 2-2.
Arizona's in a complete rebuild.
I know, but let's say minimum of 2-2. Home opener for Pittsburgh is going to be a tough game. Just because they're Pittsburgh, and we still don't know about Kenny Pickett. I like Najee.
Their defense is tough.
Yeah, T.J. Watt.
But the Rams, Giants, and Cardinals.
The Rams are also, it's McVay. He's going to be fired up. They got a lot to prove.
The Niners own the Rams.
I know, but it's early in the season.
But the Niners own the Rams.
I agree.
Road game is going to be a home game for the Niners.
I'm just saying, Bonte, minimum 2-2.
Minimum.
That's what they have to, that's the mindset.
If they're 2-2 at minimum, they're fine, but that's a disappointment in the first quarter of the season.
What, you're demanding 4-0?
They will be favored in every single game.
Probably.
Oh, they will be favored in every single game.
Do they have the better quarterback, Brock, Trey, versus, or Darnold versus Darnold, Stafford?
Yeah, they don't have the best, but
how about Daniel Jones? The Rams.
I don't even know about Daniel Jones.
I don't either.
I don't even know. No, I don't
Daniel
know how
Jones,
good he
actually.
Is.
He actually really. I came around on Daniel Jones last year.
I don't know.
Not
how good
that
he is.
He's something special, but like, no. I think you can win games with him.
The Giants will be tough, though. They will be tough.
That's what I'm saying.
That'd be a tough opener. Darren Waller now's there. Saquon Barkley. We'll see if he signs and comes into training camp. That defense, Kayvon Thibodeau, could play very, very well. I like Kayvon Thibodeau. I like that defense. Who's the young man in the middle? Was it Dexter Lawrence at D tackle?
Dexter Lawrence. He's a monster, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's a monster. So you can't get at least two wins if it's Trey or Darnold.
Well, that's what I'm saying. 2-2. All
right. I want to get greedy 3-1.
That's bar. Like, that's the bar for me. 2-2. Anything above that, great. Anything below that, not good enough.
Well, here's a great question, too. Get the hate of Darnold to Brock out of here. I don't hate Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy won me over. Brock Purdy played. He won me over so much, I thought the Niners were going to Philadelphia winning the AFC Championship game. I truly believe Brock Purdy was going to go in there and become the first rookie to win an NFC Championship game and go in there and lead the Niners to the Super Bowl. I felt that in my heart flying into Philadelphia. I thought they were going to win the football game because I felt confident in Brock Purdy. So I don't hate Brock Purdy.
Here's another one, and this is interesting, from the 415. Didn't teams have tape on Jalen Hurts and he had a breakout sophomore year? I think everybody on the team included, everybody would say he took a quantum leap forward as a passer from Alabama to Oklahoma, Oklahoma to the Eagles, and then from his time within, we all saw him. What was it, week three?
Right.
Yeah, Niners, week three the year before. And by the very next year, completely different player.
Different.
Now, he had an entire offseason.
Yeah, it was week two that year.
Week two. He had an entire offseason. They added A.J. Brown, which clearly helps.
Devontae Smith got better?
Yeah, absolutely. But Jalen, as a passer, took quantum leaps forward. And that's this. Look, when you have a full offseason and you can throw and you can train, I think that's where I'm a little sad for Brock. It's like, damn, I really wanted him to have this offseason to take another quantum leap forward.
Yep, to get stronger and all that stuff and work out with Brandon Ayuk.
I mean, part of why Trey Lance didn't take a leap forward, you could say maybe he's just not good enough, but I think part of it is the injuries.
Here's a
affecting the throwing and things like that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Here's an 80-second cut on John Lynch about Brock Purdy hitting his markers. We'll talk to David Lombardi in 12 minutes from The Athletic. Does a great job covering the 49ers. He's been at OTAs. He'll break down Brock Purdy. He'll break down what he's seen in camp, or excuse me, in practice so far with Trey Lance and Sam Darnold. Here's what John Lynch had to say on Sirius XM NFL radio about Brock Purdy.
He's hitting all the markers. You know, it's a little difficult in that this doesn't happen to NFL players as much as it does in baseball, you know, which his surgeon is a surgeon who primarily, it's why he's so experienced in Major League Baseball. And I think Brock was smart, and we kind of facilitated that he met with a bunch of different surgeons, Dr. Meister, the Texas Rangers doctor, is the one that he chose because of his vast experience and expertise with this injury. But, you know, there's certain markers that you hit. He was 12 weeks out, and that was meant it was time to throw. He did so and responded really well. He's just had one session thus far, but, you know, we're incredibly encouraged by that. And Brock's a worker. If you give him a task, he's gonna do everything in his power. You know, so these are just timelines, and timelines are just that. They're guidelines. But, you know, when I say tracking well, it's just he's hitting all his markers. And it doesn't surprise us because he's putting in the work. And as for best case scenario, we're just going to kind of take it as it comes. But, I mean, the hope is he's ready for training camp. The hope is he's ready for the regular season. But what I can tell you is, you know, I mentioned Trey, I mentioned Sam. We feel good about that position holistically. So we're not going to do anything to put, you know, Brock not in a situation where he's not fully healed.
So that's John Lynch on Brock Purdy. And with all that said, it does sound like Brock's going to be a QB1. I think he earned that. He's had more tape than Trey Lance. I'll give Brock Purdy that. He should be the starter if healthy. But I got two questions here.
Okay.
I guess one is, what if Trey or Darnold gets off to a very hot start?
Great.
I mean, what do you do?
What do you mean, like, what do you do? Cross that bridge when we need to.
Okay, all right.
That's just the way I would be taking it. That's the way I would be taking it.
That's fair.
Like, what does it look
like? That's fair.
Right? Because I think it's one thing to say, like, hot start. It's like, okay, well, what does that look like?
Hot start, 10 touchdown passes, 2 interceptions, guys averaging 260 yards a game passing. Offense is moving. It's humming.
Are they throwing early in the game?
Yeah.
Are they throwing late and they're already up big?
Right.
Like, so there's context to everything.
So
what does it look like? That's the thing with Brock. It's like, and this is what a judge said. I know pornography when I see it. That's the definition of it, right? Brock's like, when you saw it, you're like, yeah, that's what it looks like. So with Trey or Sam Darnold, we will know with our eyeballs if that's what it looks like.
So they hope that
at least Brock feel like that.
Yeah, no doubt. They hope their Brock's ready for the regular season. So Brock, if he is QB1, and we talk about this core group, we talked about the Warriors, last dance. Is this the last dance? How long is this going to last? The Niners just selected two tight ends, one out of Oklahoma, one out of Alabama. All right? Trent Williams has hinted at retirement the last couple years.
35?
35, 36, maybe on his
He's
last
He's so
night.
Old?
Yeah, I know.
As I look around the room at guys who are older than him, God.
So
I hate the way we talk about athletes. He's so old.
I don't know about right tackle. I don't know about right tackle.
Right tackle?
I don't know about center.
I have no clue about right tackle, which to me is the biggest hole on the team.
But if Brock Purdy is him, as the kids like to say, he's him.
Well, they call him Himothy now.
Himothy.
Yeah, that's what the boys on my group thread. It's that and bet. Everything's bet, 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 bet. bet. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. But yes, so, they call it so, Timothy.
So if Brock Purdy's that guy, should we...
So Brock's Timothy.
So he's Timothy. Should we expect...
I love hearing you say that.
Should we expect the Niners to go to the Super Bowl? If Brock Purdy's that guy, just say Super Bowl roster. Because last year the pushback was, why are we starting Trey Lance when we have a Super Bowl roster? It should be Jimmy's job. Remember, that was coming out of camp.
Well, here's the thing I worry about is because I think what, just in general, if you really like Brock, I think like the worst thing that could happen is he comes back and he's not looking so good. I'm doing the Steiny now. And then, you know, he struggles a little, but the team's winning. And then you bench the hot hand and everyone's like, I don't know. It doesn't really look right. But you want to give him enough leeway because he is coming back from a serious. That's the thing that I keep coming back to. Y'all, this is a serious injury. To think that anyone would come back and, like, they're good to go. Like, dude, Russell Wilson's 2 years removed from that finger injury, and we still don't know if he's right.
So David Lombardi's going to join us in 7 minutes. And again, the narrative coming out of training camp last year was, boy, is Trey ready to go because we have a Super Bowl-ready roster. That was the narrative coming out.
I never liked that narrative.
But it was a narrative, and it was a thing with everybody out here. It was a thing with the national media. It was a thing with the fan base. This is a Super Bowl-ready roster. We don't have time to develop a quarterback.
Narrative.
Okay, that's fine.
Narrator.
That's fine.
They did not make the Super Bowl.
No, they got to the NFC Championship game. But they have a roster that is capable of making a Super Bowl. They have a loaded roster. Some people may say it's the most loaded roster in the NFL. All right, fine.
I think it's their best roster since the Harbaugh days by far.
So that was a narrative coming out. Is that the narrative this year as well, that this is a Super Bowl-ready roster? Loaded.
Yeah. I don't know if the quarterback is capable, whoever it is, of getting over the hump until we see it.
Brock Purdy not capable?
Did you think that Philadelphia was a Super Bowl contender last year heading into the year?
I did not think heading into the year because of the question mark with Jalen Hurts.
I agree.
But 5 weeks into the season, I was telling you, I was like, yeah, I don't want to go to Philly.
Yeah, I know. You were all over it.
I didn't want to go to Philly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that defensive line is lethal. Yeah. And they still are lethal. Philly's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
We're going to have to see them again in week 13.
Like a Georgia national team basically playing for him.
Legit. Those boys can play. So let's talk to David Lombardi about what we see from
OTAs. They are such a unique team. They're the only team in the NFL where the biggest question mark is the most important position, whether it be health or production, and we're still filing them as Super Bowl contenders. Because I think they are Super Bowl contender.
Without knowing who the quarterback's going
to
be.
It's wild.
So let's talk to David Lombardi.
They are the exception to the rule.
Let's talk to David Lombardi from The Athletic about that. What's coming up on the game, sponsored by S.C. Johnson off David Lombardi about OTAs. We're going to talk to him about OTAs and the latest with Brock Purdy here on the Morning Roast.
Who needs coffee when we have you?
The Morning Roast is live on YouTube right now. Take it away, Bonte.
All right, getting to the Warriors in the 9 o'clock hour. Go to State Warriors basketball again. A couple days removed from the Bob Myers presser. We'll rehash that. Some thoughts on Joe Lacob. Thoughts on Steve Kerr. What does Monty Williams' deal mean for Steve Kerr? Is Joe Lacob ready to throw him the bag? Steve Kerr could demand up to $15 million a year. Monty Williams got a 6-year, $78.5 million deal with the Detroit Pistons. If he gets to a year 7 and 8, he can get up to $100 million. So what does that mean for Steve Kerr, who did say he wants to coach for a very long time? Also, we have a special King of the Hill today.
Oh, really?
Special King of the Hill. The top 5 ride or die guys in the Bay Area. Who you're riding with in the Bay.
Huh.
Top 5 ride or die guys currently.
Interesting. Currently. Sorry, I was in the other room discussing the heartbreaking playoff loss for Huddy and our boss, Matt Nahegan. Yeah.
What was the score?
What was the score? They just didn't score. That's part of the problem. They only scored 5 runs. The bats fell asleep. That happens.
What was the score? Final score?
I don't know. They hit, they didn't.
Oh, Huddy had a rough one, but Huddy did well.
I wanted to give boss a hug. I've been there. You feel so helpless when you're coaching, and you've practiced all this time. You're emotionally invested into seeing some of the kids just not. It's not about winning. It's about just seeing them have success and play to their strengths, because you know how much it means to everybody.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, Huddy had a great year for the Red Sox out there. Marin County pitched well. Boston with Tam High pitched well. Man, he's got some baseball players there. He's got some good baseball players.
I know. It must be from the mom, Joey.
Yeah. I think Joey's probably the more athletic guy. The way Nahiga's moving around, and hopefully his kids have Joey's height. That's the biggest key. Huddy needs to grow.
Don't be. Hey, first off, baseball players come in all shapes and sizes.
I'm just saying.
Dustin Pedroia was like 5'8" and was the MVP of the league.
Well, come down my road after you just ripped Nahiga for not having any athletic ability.
That's different.
And I'm just saying, hopefully they get mom's height as well as the athletic gene.
Well, this is what I would say. That's height discrimination.
Don't get so sensitive.
Make sweeping judgments about people because
I'm
of their size.
I'm not making sweeping
Pedro
judgments.
Pedro Martinez online too.
I didn't make sweeping.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Judgments. I
don't
just say
put
Huddy
words in his mouth.
That's exactly what he's doing. Huddy's a hell of a pitcher. I don't care what size he is. I just said I hope he gets mom's height. As you said, you hope he gets mom's athletic ability. I'm not judging Matt Nahiga's athletic. Matt Nahiga may have been a great athlete.
I am judging his athletic
ability. Well, see, I'm not doing that.
I've seen.
I don't know. I think Nahiga could ball.
At what?
I think he could ball. Basketball, baseball,
billiards?
Football. Gambling? I think he could ball.
He knows I love him.
David Lombardi does a great job. Niners insider for The Athletic. He's been down at OTAs. We love him here on the Morning Roast. As football season gets cranked up, we got OTAs. David, good morning, my man. How you doing, David?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good. We're good, man. We're just, you know, trying to transition from the Golden State Warriors and what's going on with them. Although Steve Kerr may get paid after next season. I know you're tapped in with that. Real quick, because you do love your basketball. I know you went up to Golden 1 during a playoff run. What's your thoughts on the Bob Myers and Joe Lake oppressor and all that happened? Because you have a great, very good perspective on all sports.
I thought it was tense.
Really?
And it's just a pity because they've built something so great, and I still feel that, you know, if you have Steph Curry on your team, and I firmly believe that Steph Curry is playing the best basketball of his career. I still remember the very start of all this. He gets swallowed up by pressure. He wasn't quite strong enough to be a fully complete player. He's always been the greatest shooter. But as he's gotten that grown man strength, he's just such a pivot point and presence to build a team around. So, you know, as long as you have this version of Steph Curry on your team, maybe you have him for 2 more years, 3 more years. I don't know how long his time is going to last. But as long as you have him there, I think that you've got a shot. And, you know, for whatever reason, Bob Myers wanted to step down there. So I think that run, that union, didn't last long enough.
God, David, you should be our basketball insider. I'm loving this
don't
unique
tell David
angle.
That. Don't tell David
I
that.
I know I'm loving
Sam's
this.
Sam's going to start asking for somebody here. Don't
no,
tell
what
him that.
What are you talking about?
Basketball stuff is crazy. I try to understand the cap stuff because I pride myself on my knowledge of the NFL cap. I read an NBA cap article and my brain just... I have to turn off the phone at that point. So, you know, obviously Bob Myers had to be on top of all that. I'm sure he's got guys that are good at that too. But it's going to be like walking a tightrope for the Warriors to rebuild this team. And the window is obviously closing. But I do think it's still open because you still have one of the best players in the world.
You know, it's fascinating. They do have one of the best players in the world. And he gets tons of viral moments and people going crazy. I think the number one most clicked on thing, regardless, or commented thing on social media in passing, it isn't Steph Curry. It's the 49er quarterback. Like, whoever it is. David, you've been doing this for quite some time when it comes to the 49ers. It really is. It's crazy, isn't it? How much people really care. Like, every throw must be charted. Every uniform change must be charted. If a guy changes his face mask, like, you check the algorithms. Is there anything even close to 49er quarterback?
Yeah, I think we talked about this a little bit last time, and I was trying to think of something else, and we couldn't think of anything. And there's so many interesting things about this team. They've got so many stars. They've built up such a nice roster. Yet everybody wants to talk about the quarterback position all the time. I mean, they signed Javon Hargrave this offseason, which was a huge, big fish signing. And I know he hasn't been at OTAs along with Nick Bosa, so maybe that's why he's not getting as much press. But it constantly reverts to that quarterback situation. And it's not just the quarterback situation. It's that, you know, at least most of the louder fans don't view it the same way that the 49ers do. The 49ers are, you know, truly looking at this holistically. They're going to let it play out organically. They want to arm themselves with as many options as possible, because if you don't have a top five guy, that's the best you can do. You just, you know, get yourself multiple darts to throw at the wall and hope that one lands, or at least one lands close to the bullseye. The problem is the general public is cheering, picking a guy and cheering him on.
Right.
It creates this just like a food fight, you know, food fight on social media. You know, everybody you talk to is like, oh, I like Brock Purdy. Oh, I like Jimmy Garoppolo. Why they let him go? Oh, I love Trey Lance. Right. And now Sam Darnold's come in. I feel that he doesn't have nearly as many vocal supporters, but he's been with the team for the shortest period of time outside of Brandon Allen. So
how's he look?
He'll develop a little bit of a following if he starts a couple games.
How does he look, Darnold?
You know, he's a really talented thrower. That's all that I can glean from watching them in shorts right now without pads on. Right. You know, people are trying to make these sweeping judgments of every single throw, the problem that you just illustrated. But let's be honest, we're not going to be able to truly see anything until training camp. Right. And we know that Sam Darnold has an electric arm. They're, you know, probably the most impressive physical play of his career came against the 49ers in 2020. That was the game where both
Solomon Thomas, Raheem Mostert, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Hurt in that one too?
Jordan Reed. Yeah, the turf. The MetLife turf was awful that day.
No, it's Met Death Stadium. But in garbage time, Darnold's in there, and he rolls out to his left, and he flips his hips as he's, you know, moving away from his natural throwing side, flips his hips and just, you know, somehow fires a laser with a really, really quick release time to Braxton Berrios, who scores a touchdown. And in my opinion, that one play, just seeing him physically do that, that had a big effect on Kyle Shanahan. Because we know that he was interested in trading for Sam Darnold in 2021. They ultimately decided to make the trade up to number three to pick Trey Lance. But Kyle has talked about the physical potential that he sees in Sam Darnold. And I think that might even go back to 2018 when Darnold was coming out of the draft. You know who else really, really likes Sam Darnold is Frank Gore.
Mm.
Frank Gore was on that Jets team in 2020. And I talked to Frank Gore a little bit about this. He was at the 49ers facility a few weeks ago. And he brought Sam Darnold up on his own and kept on saying, that's his guy. And the year with Sam really, really impressed Frank Gore. And, you know, that's one of those things where guys who have actually been around him see the potential. He obviously hasn't delivered a full season of efficient football yet, but the 49ers' hope is that, you know, he finished strong last year. He had a good run there at the end of the season, and they hope that if you plug him into the system, and the Carolina system was very similar to the 49ers, setting up yards after the catch and timing and all that, if you plug him into the system with Kyle Shanahan, he can play his best football. That's the bet the 49ers are making, and they've hedged that bet by also having Trey Lance on the team and by having Brock Purdy on the team.
Devin Lombardi from the Athletic, Niners Insider here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game, does a great job covering the 49ers. He's been down at OTAs, especially during the second week of Sam Darnold, Trey Lance's alternated first-team reps. You brought up Javon Hargrave. You're going to love him. We had him on the Morning Rush
a
couple months ago. He has a really good personality, man. He's going to be a lot of fun on this football team. But Sam Darnold, there is something to say that he didn't have the weapons around him. Now, you could say the same thing about Trey Lance through four games. You talk about it, David. These sweeping proclamations through four games. What is your assessment of Trey Lance so far in OTAs and so far in his career? And I'm with you there. When it comes to shorts and jerseys and OTAs, we're not going to find anything out until training camp or the preseason football games. But so far, what have you seen from Trey? What's your overall perspective on Trey Lance?
Well, the 49ers knew that he was this raw when they drafted him. They just didn't expect him to have two seasons derailed by injury. So you're kind of just in an awkward timing spot now where Trey Lance is at, you know, he's obviously gotten to learn the playbook over 2 years, so it's not like he just stepped into the building for the first time. But he's obviously, as far as, because, you know, they never question his intelligence. They never question his athleticism. What they knew that had to be worked on were the mechanics. And really, you can only work on mechanics in live situations or, you know, some practice situations, obviously, but you have to carry it over into the game, and the injuries have really delayed that mechanical development that what was really needed for Trey Lance. So he's further along into his rookie contract than the 49ers anticipated he'd be at this level of mechanical development. And that's why the offseason of work with Jeff Christensen, who actually happened to be Jimmy Garoppolo's quarterback coach too, and I say that because we know Garoppolo had a super fast release, and that's something that Lance has really needed to work on. That's why that work has been so significant. And that's why we're in this holding pattern now, because I have seen the mechanical improvements, but now I need to know if they're going to carry over into actual game action, right? And we're not going to find that out in May or in June or even probably in July. We're probably not going to find that out until maybe the preseason moving into the regular season. The 49ers will get hints and they'll get clues, and Lance will be able to position himself in this battle. But at the end of the day, he's got to do it when the bright lights come on of the regular season. And the clock is ticking for sure. So he's got a ton of potential. He's really smart, but he's raw mechanically. And this is the year with that deadline pressure looming that he's got to bridge all his positive qualities with that mechanical gap. He's got to establish himself mechanically because he had so few reps in college.
How does the locker room feel about the quarterback situation, David?
I think they like all three of the guys personally. I think that they see that all three of the guys are really talented. The only one that's proven it over a longer stretch at this level, playing really efficient football, is Brock Purdy. So I think that in a football locker room, it's a meritocracy. Guys are naturally going to gravitate toward the player who's done it, which is, that's why the rhetoric is what it is. The leadership of the 49ers says the same thing. That's why Brock Purdy is the leader in the clubhouse. But nobody's saying that he's the unquestioned starter. I think in football, there's an expectation that unless you're one of the top guys in the league at this position, that you're going to have a competition. Like in football, you compete. So I think that the locker room views it as every other position. They don't deify the quarterback position the way that, outsiders are. Outsiders only want to talk about QB, Well, the 49ers are saying, hey, we got a competition of running backs, too. We've got competitions on O-line, D-line, receiver, basically the whole roster.
Nickel.
I think they view the quarterback position at the same level as the rest of the roster, unlike fans, unlike the media, which is obviously focusing way more on QB.
Well, because you just alluded to all of that, does Brock feel any kind of pressure to return? Not that he's being reckless. I'm not going there. But, does that change his timetable? Because his spot isn't necessarily written in stone, does that maybe give him extra motivation or more incentive or whatever to try to get back?
Well, it's a complicated answer.
Yeah.
Yes, but rushing back would only hurt his chances of getting
right
once. That is the fixture, right? So he's incentivized to come back at the correct speed.
Yeah.
And that is as fast as possible within the constraints of not pushing it too hard. And at that point, you just have to trust the baseball specialists who are working with Brock Purdy because, he's rehabbing with a baseball guy, Keith Coker, because it is an injury that's way more frequently seen in baseball. And as of right now, he might be a few days ahead of schedule. He just started throwing again this week. John Lynch said he was incredibly encouraged by that throwing session. And, everything is going along the plan that we talked about 3 months ago when he first had the surgery. They said he's going to try to throw in 3 months, and he has. And then when he throws, we're going to have a firmer idea of when he'll come back. And they seem to have a firmer idea that they're saying that training camp is possible. But that's obviously a big window between training camp and week one is what they're saying. But 3 months ago, they're talking about week four being the last possible, date in the window. They're not talking about week four anymore. So it seems to be going well in his recovery.
Last year, Jordan Mason comes out of nowhere. Burford relatively came out of nowhere. Deshaun Gibson didn't see him becoming an impact player on this team. It's so early. But are there any randoms that on either side of the ball that look good to you?
Well, their top draft pick from this year, Jair Brown, has 4 interceptions already in OTAs. And he was the only player in college football that came out into this draft that had 10 interceptions over the past 2 years. So immediately you see a guy who obviously has a nose for the football. You have to have instincts to be able to rack up 10 interceptions at a power school in 2 seasons. And the fact that he's got 4, and Brandon Ayuk said that he dropped 1, so he could have had 5. He's been in a position to get 5 picks. That to me is okay. And yesterday in 7-on-7s, he got a couple first team reps. I don't think that he's going to be starting at safety to begin the season. I think Deshaun Gibson was really damn good last year. Obviously, Tano Hufanga earned all-pro status last year, but the 49ers' long-term vision is to have a couple ball hawks at safety. They led the league in interceptions last season. This was just, what, 4 years after they had an NFL record low, two picks in 2018. So they've obviously put focus on that. I think the future is Hufanga and Jair Brown at safety, and the present is going to be letting Tashaun Gibson, who's 33 years old, really shepherd Jair Brown into the mix. So you're going to see some three safety sets, and you know, Jair Brown has taken down the door so far. If he already has four picks, maybe five, he keeps on doing this in training camp, the 49ers are going to have to find a way to put him into some of those defensive formations. So for me, that's the guy that's really stood out so far.
How shocked were you to see Deebo Samuel at OTAs yesterday? I heard he looked good.
Yeah, he was off on the side. He was moving around. I mean, he's just so thick. You know, he's got that.
Right.
He walks by you and you're like, okay, I understand why defensive backs can't tackle.
Right.
Because he's moving faster than 4.5.
Right.
Or even if he's running 4.6 or 4.7, it doesn't matter because he's just this, you know, brick of muscle. And it's really this amazing comparative advantage that the 49ers have when they get him the ball in just a little bit of space, because he's a wrecking ball out there. So, you know, I wasn't surprised to see him. He got his contract last year. OTAs aren't a big deal to these superstar veterans. In fact, it's sometimes they almost even a little bit better to create some room for coaching for the younger guys. That's, you know, if OTAs were a huge deal, Nick Bosa would be there, because
Right.
Nick Bosa lives,
yeah,
breathes, and eats football. And he doesn't have to be there. It's totally cool. I don't know why the Chargers needed Joey Bosa there this year, but to each their own. So, Deebo,
to keep him from getting in fights with Philadelphia Eagle fans.
What about
Eagle? I said to keep him from getting in fights with Philadelphia Eagle fans.
Yeah, I remember that video. That was the week after he surprised Nick at
that's right,
at Levi's Stadium against the Cowboys. That was a cool moment.
Yeah, no, he was in that same suite with Joe Montana right behind me, man, in my seats. Real quick, Brandon Ayuk. What do you expect for Brandon Ayuk in terms of production and a contract before we let you go? Because he's going to be due for an extension soon.
Yeah, so I think that it's very apparent that the 49ers have a relatively simple formula as to how they navigate the cap and contract extensions. And the cap typically grows every single season. There's only been 1 year where it went down in 2021 after COVID and all that. But so the cap typically grows. So theoretically, you have more room every year to spend. And the 49ers have shown that they're very intent on paying their own. The only guy they haven't paid that's an A-list player that, you know, is a super, you know, not maybe not a superstar, but a star, has been DeForest Buckner, but this regime didn't even draft him. Every single star that this Shanahan-Lynch regime has drafted who's been up for a contract extension, they have paid, and they fit under the growing cap. Now, to make that happen, they haven't re-signed the B-listers, guys like Charles Omenihu, obviously solid football player, not a star. Samson Ebukam, same thing. So they let these good football players, Jimmy Garoppolo, another good example, they let good football players who aren't quite, you know, at that elite level, they let those guys walk, but they signed the A-listers. So it's Brandon Ayuk is right now in that contract year where I think that the objective and the mission for him is clear. He's coming off a 1,000-yard season, and it's time for him to prove to the 49ers that he is indeed an A-lister. And if he's an A-lister, they have room to pay him. They're going to do it. But their philosophy is if he's somewhere in between, they're not going to take that chance, right? So he's motivated right now, and he's on a trajectory to be an A-lister. He caught two deep touchdown passes yesterday, but he's got to prove it out on that field. And if he does, look out, because he's going to be part of that 49ers star power core.
All right, David Lombardi, everybody from The Athletic. We got to get you in studio soon and have a nice little roundtable going into training camp there. David, good stuff as always, man. Take care. We'll continue to read your reports at OTAs.
All right. Thank you.
Anytime. Thanks, David Lombardi from The Athletic here on the Morning Roast. A lot to dissect there.
What's your favorite part to dissect?
It's the quarterback thing. Sam Darnold intrigues me. The Sam Darnold-Trey Lance battle is very intriguing to me because on one end, I am open-minded to the fact that he was with the Jets and the Panthers. And he comes to a roster with George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, mm-hmm, Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey. Damn, that's a quarterback paradise. Any quarterback would love to be here. Oh, and by the way, Kyle Shanahan's calling plays for you in a very quarterback user-friendly system. So on one end, I could see where, wow, Sam Darnold, a bust. And we just saw Geno Smith last year win comeback player of the year in Seattle and have a really good deal, have a really good season, and get rewarded. So I could see that argument.
Geno, look, had a great year. We all can agree. If he just, like, if he went back down, would you be that surprised?
No, but he does have a lot of weapons in Seattle.
Agreed. And he has a lot. Sweet, I mean, receiver.
He's never had a DK Metcalf until last year.
I mean, they have a great running game, too.
Jackson, what's his name? Jackson and Jigba Smith?
Yes.
From Ohio State? Mm-hmm. That's broke the Rose Bowl record? Yeah. Geno Smith has some weapons up there, and he's got some running backs.
And they drafted two tackles that were rookies last year that are going to be a lot better this year.
Exactly. So I would be a little surprised if Geno Smith did the production.
I wouldn't.
I think Seattle's going to be a lot better.
I agree with that, but I thought Geno faded hard toward the end of last year.
But that's in year two. Year one, Geno with Seattle. What did they say? They wrote me off, but I didn't write back.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying I thought he didn't finish strong at the end of last year, is what I was saying.
He didn't finish. Yeah, maybe. But
he
had some injuries.
Really rattled in that playoff game.
They had some injuries, though.
Yes.
And don't forget,
Walker's so sick.
They were leading at the half. Seattle was leading at the half.
Yeah, but the Niners had left so much on the table. That first half was...
Seattle controlled that first half.
I know.
Let's be real. Yeah, no, you could say the Niners left it, but Seattle had a lot to do with
that.
No,
but I'm saying, like, they had opportunities to strike. I mean, in particular, Brock Purdy missed a couple throws. And they had untimely penalties, which set them back on down in distance.
See, Weenish on YouTube. Darnold going to be comeback player of the year.
I mean, are we basing that off of just closing our eyes and throwing a dart, or are we basing that off of, you know, so you're saying that Darnold's going to, that guy's saying that, that, or guy that person it. Is right. saying Darnold's going to win the job.
A lot of people believe in Darnold. It's not just him. It's not just him. The day he signed with the Niners said, oh boy, I know how, because of everything on the table.
I'm going to stake my claim here.
I have to be open-minded here with Sam Darnold.
That's fine.
I don't think, look, he's taking first team reps. They said he looked okay yesterday. We'll see in training camp. But there is an argument to be made. As much as I'm pro Trey Lance in terms of his talent and his ability to play, and I think a 4-game sample size is not enough to judge a player, there is something to be said about a guy coming to Kyle Shanahan who has raw talent. He's got all these weapons.
I don't think it's egregious to say I would be surprised if Sam Darnold figured it all out and it clicked here. I'd be surprised. That's all. I don't think that's an egregious statement.
How surprised would you be?
Pretty surprised, because I think he's a really bad decision maker. I do think he has that. Talent has never been an issue. When we mean talent, I mean, you know, physical gifts. But to me, also in the talent bucket, decision making, you know, your brain, your IQ. Like, I believe the most important weapon that a quarterback can have is his mind.
Right. Let me play devil's advocate.
That's me. And I think that he lacks in some of those areas.
Let me play devil's advocate. First year, he has Todd Bowles as a head coach.
Yeah, well.
All right. Todd Bowles, his offensive coordinator was a guy named Jeremy Bates. Jeremy Bates. You ever hear of Jeremy Bates?
No.
I don't think anybody has. Jeremy Bates was his offensive coordinator. Now, what is Jeremy Bates doing now? He's out of the league.
Okay.
He's an OC twice, 2010 and 2018. That was his offensive coordinator. Again, we talk about Mac Jones being with Joe Judge and Matt Patricia. Uh-huh. That's a recipe for disaster. It's going to be hard to succeed under a guy named Jeremy Bates.
He won 6 games last year with that, with Judge, and what he was 6-8 last year, Mac Jones. So it was bad. Look, I hear you. It was bad. He also, like, he still had more touchdowns than interceptions. He fumbled the ball a lot, but he had more touchdowns than interceptions. Like, so I hear what you're saying, but keep going.
So he was better than that, despite all that. Well, kind of making my case here, Mac Jones.
Mac Jones was better than what Sam Darnold was, given when you're trying to do like the comparative shopping.
You still have Bill Belichick, though.
For sure.
You still have the Patriot way, right?
Now, but they got no weapons. Jacoby Myers is your top dog.
You look at Sam Darnold his rookie year. His weapons? I mean, he had Bilal Powell at running back, and Elijah McGuire. I mean, Terrell Pryor was a receiver on that team. Jermaine Kearse. Chris Herndon. I mean, these... Chosen. Oh, you had Anderson, your boy, who's
Robbie
Anderson, now named Chosen Anderson.
He's not bad.
He's not bad.
No, there's no number one. No, his weaponry is not good. I'm not here to defend that. I'm just saying,
I'm just saying we have to be open-minded with Sam Darnold. We have to be open-minded.
No one is saying that you can't be open-minded. Okay. I'm saying I'd be surprised if he was good, which I think are both fair statements.
I don't know if I'd be that surprised.
I would.
So next year.
sustainably good, too. I want to make sure. Having a game,
right.
Anybody can have a game. Johnny Manziel's greatest game came against the 49ers. He beat us. It was one of the lowest moments as a 49er fan I've ever had.
I'm just trying to make the argument here that I would not be surprised at Darnold, because you look at his second year. Adam Gase was his head coach. Remember Adam Gase at the press conference?
Yeah, but Adam Gase was also a great coordinator with Peyton Manning.
Well, Peyton Manning made him a great offensive coordinator.
Okay.
All right, so let's be real.
Peyton Some Manning. Guys are good coordinators Peyton and Manning bad head
called,
coaches.
Peyton Manning called the plays.
Probably, but Peyton Manning swore by him.
There's no probably about that.
No, I know, but like...
He called the plays.
But Bonte, real or not, Peyton Manning swore by him. In the same way, Aaron Rodgers swore by Nathaniel Hackett, and that didn't work out.
Exactly. Guys are loyal to a fault. Guys are loyal to a fault. So then Sam Darnold has Le'Veon Bell, Ty Montgomery, Chosen Anderson again. Why is Jamison Crowder? Jets went 7-9 that year.
Did he start all those games?
7-9.
Interesting.
Not bad for Sam Darnold. Not bad at all.
Stop bashing my guy Gase with his goofy eyes. Niners almost hired him, and I did not want him. Oh, my God.
Oh, I know you didn't.
I did not want him. I thought he was tweaking. Bro, when they did that interview and he's looking all over the place, I was like, is he hanging out with that? You know, I'm not going to say it.
Sam Darnold was 7-6. Sam Darnold was 7-6. Yeah, we know, Shasker. We know. Sam Darnold, 7-6 that second year.
Keep selling me on him. It's like selling me a pen in the elevator trying to get the job.
I'm not trying to sell you anything.
Sell me this pen.
I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm just saying, I would not be shocked if he started a couple games and played well under Kyle Shanahan, considering what's
Nick
around
Mullins
now.
Had great games. He had the greatest game ever against the Raiders in the final battle of the Bay, where he threw 3 touchdowns and 300-plus yards and looked ridiculous.
Well, that Raiders team may have been the worst Raiders team in the last 20 years.
I'm just saying.
That was one of the worst football teams I've ever seen fielded on Thursday Night Football.
You would not be surprised even a little if Darnold was good all year long and held off Brock Purdy, because I would be very surprised. I would. I'm being honest.
Holding off Brock Purdy is one thing. But having success in this system is another thing. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. That's we can meet in the middle.
Let's go to Rob in San Bruno. Rob, what's happening?
What's going on, fellas? Love the show. But that dude, David, man, that dude, he went from a Jimmy Garoppolo fanboy to a Brock Purdy fanboy. Now he a Darnold fanboy now. So everything is anybody but Trey. Man, look, man, we need to cut this nonsense off.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.